You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here, we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity service and your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked-about charities. I'm Art Taylor, your host. And today we're going to talk about blockchain, and specifically a blockchain project that was devised to help people make informed giving decisions and also to protect their data and incentivize them to give. So you're going to hear all about this project called GiveSafely.io. And with me today to discuss it is my good friend and board member, Elizabeth Mung, aka the Crypto Woman, and my teammate, Ezra Vasquez D'Amico, who is managing the project for us at Give.org. Welcome, both of you.
Great to be here, Art.
Hi, Art. It's nice to be here with you. Congratulations on your new podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm having a lot of fun with it. We've had some really interesting guests, and none of them will be able to top you today, I am certain. First thing I want to say is to everyone, I had this crazy idea. Somehow I got hooked on blockchain. You know, the first time we hear about blockchain, it's all about cryptocurrency, and we can invest in these digital tokens and we can make money like Bitcoin off them, right? Because of the speculative nature of these tokens. But then the more I read about it, the more it intrigued me, because there was something about the underlying technology that was making many in the business world take notice. And it had a lot to do with the security aspects of this underlying technology known as blockchain and the ability of it to do various forms of financial transactions that could make our financial system more secure and had various other potential uses that could provide a lot of social good in the world. And so I decided to learn more about this. And I came across a course offered by Oxford University Side Business School. And I took this class, and it really opened up my mind to the potential of blockchain technology for social good. And I was so excited by this that when I got done the course, I began talking to some of my colleagues about what we could do at Give.org to enable blockchain technology to help donors and to improve the work of charities and to engage donors and charities. And so this became this project that we now call GiveSafely.io. And so I'm going to stop talking and let my two colleagues here explain to you exactly what we came up with. So before we get into GiveSafely.io, let me ask you, Elizabeth, to share with us a little bit more about what blockchain actually is.
Well, I'd be happy to, Art. One of the best ways to explain it to people who don't understand it is to explain how it can work for them. One of the things I'm most excited about is that blockchain technology actually fixes what the technology of the internet has broken. And by that, I mean it can fix things like data security, hacking situations, and things like that. And it does that because the software for blockchain technology sits on computers all over the world. And when somebody writes a piece of data, to one of those computers, it automatically updates to all of the other ones. So there's this huge network or block of information there. And then on a more micro level, this is encrypted. It's encrypted at a very, very high and strong encryption. And it's pretty much immutable. That means it can't be hacked. The technology can secure the transfer of funds through cryptocurrency, which many people have probably heard, but it also secures the transaction of data, which is one of the things that I'm very interested in, because with all of this data hacking and personal data scraping that's going on today, we don't realize, I think, how much we give away. And maybe we don't even realize how valuable our data is. Some people say that your individual data is more than a lot of people make in a year. That's how much they can sell your data for. But in order to get this data, they scrape or they steal. And what blockchain can do is it can securely store your information and encrypt it so that nobody can access it unless you want them to.
I think that is a great explanation. No one can access your information unless you want them to, because it's stored on so many machines at once that they would have to access at least half of those machines at the same time in order to get it. That sounds like a pretty straightforward explanation to me of the power of blockchain. What are some of the things that we see people doing with blockchain? I know one of them is the creation of cryptocurrencies. Tell us about how cryptocurrencies are created and what maybe is another example of how people are actually using blockchain.
Well, certainly the first cryptocurrency that used blockchain and set the example for everybody else was Bitcoin. And different people have cloned Bitcoin or used spinoffs of Bitcoin to create additional cryptocurrencies. And then it seems like people caught the bug and they are creating their own blockchains. The one that I am most familiar with and have been part of since the beginning is the one called Ardor blockchain. And it's the one we built GiveSafely on. But there are many other uses besides the transfer of funds. There's encrypted messages that can be sent back and forth. There is storage of data like images and art. And there is something that I'm really excited about, and it's called digital assets or NFTs, which is something that you can create on a blockchain and pieces of digital art or music or something and trade them back and forth as unique items with each other because they're tokenized on a blockchain. The other thing that people do with blockchain is they can use it as a notary service or a timestamp. Some people are working on projects for the transfer of property and deeds, the copyright of information like music and books. The list just goes on and on, wherever data needs to be secured.
In my class, Elizabeth, we actually devised a way to vote using blockchain.
Actually, that is something that is incredibly important right now. And people are looking and searching for ways to make voting on a political level a little bit more attainable. We're not quite there yet.
But we were just envisioning, you know, people taking out their cell phone. Mm. And you could be easily identified that it's you. Mm-hmm. You vote. The vote is tabulated. You can't undo the vote once it's tabulated. And it's counted automatically by the software and secured automatically by the software. So we have everything we need in this technology to vote, except the trust of the people, of course. But it seems to me that we could very easily devise a voting system where we knew exactly who voted, when they voted, who they voted for. We could even give them information about the candidates before they voted. The information would be secure and it would be tabulated. So we wouldn't have to wait long for the outcome of the election as well. So there's so many possibilities with the software and this technology, I guess we should call it. But we've created an interesting project with it as well. It's called GiveSafely.io. And maybe Ezra can give us a little sense of what GiveSafely.io is and what it does.
Sure. GiveSafely is a platform that uses new technologies and ideas to improve levels of trust between donors and charities. It uses blockchain technologies, but we keep all that behind the scenes so that donors don't get too confused, but they do get the benefits of it. And it provides donors a safe and fun way to donate both crypto and cash to trusted charities, and in doing so, earn rewards if they choose to share their data, and then use these points that they earned, the giving points, to redeem them for reward experiences around causes that they care about, or maybe even to discover a new charity on the platform. And what we found overall, and you know, our Donor Trust Report series research says, and I think we all know this intuitively, is that donors want to feel safe when giving. They want to give to charities that are trustworthy, and they want to engage with these charities in meaningful ways. You know, they don't want to just donate. They want to have a relationship with a charity. And younger people and tech-savvy people, they especially want to do this on their own terms in ways that make sense to them. And so as we talk about trust, it's worth noting that all the charities listed on the platform are trustworthy. They're all evaluated by us, so they're all accredited to meet the 20 BBB standards for charity accountability. And then in terms of the safety aspect, in terms of technology, the platform's blockchain encryption, it sets up peer-to-peer relationships between the donors and the charities, which ensures that there's no central database, so nowhere where, you know, hackers could access the information, where somebody could monetize it, or it could be sold to third parties, or it could be misused. We have no access to donor data or the donations, and we don't take any transaction fees.
So that's a good intro to what we're talking about here, Ezra. So what do we think is the real potential for GiveSafely?
Well, GiveSafely is a unique platform, and there's not really anything else like it out there right now. Not only does it meet people's needs, but it's ahead of its time in some ways. And I think it will serve as an example for the charitable sector, but probably for the business sector and beyond too. People overall are becoming more and more concerned about their privacy and the value of their data. And they're increasingly seeing their personal data as property and as valuable. And we all constantly hear about data hacks from Equifax on. We hear about the misuse of our data by large platforms. I think a lot of us woke up to this when we heard about the Cambridge Analytica scandal years back. On the charity side, back in March of this year, one of the cloud-based donor management services where a lot of charities store their donor information was hacked, and that exposed thousands of donors' private information. As donors are becoming more aware, they're going to look for platforms like GiveSafely that takes these things into account and shows them and their data that sort of respect. So yeah, we see it as a potentially as a good example for the sector and beyond.
Well, you know, for me, I was so concerned that we find ways to incentivize people to give to charity. I really thought it was important that we incentivize donors because many of the current incentives aren't working as well anymore. We're seeing a significant decline in the number of people donating to charities. And if that trend continues, of course, we're going to see a very different world than we currently have, a very different country. So we want to find ways to get people interested in donating and seeing value in it. And I just think what you're doing with the wise giving points that come out of donations and the sharing of information can be a real incentive. And one of the keys to that is the kind of charity experiences that you're creating. Want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And let me explain how it happens. So when you visit the platform, you create an account. All we ask for is a username, again, so that none of your data goes on any servers that we have contact with. Once you have your username and you have your account key, you can then go and donate to a charity. When you donate to a charity, you have to provide your name and your email address, and that earns you 3 giving points. For each additional piece of information you choose to share, you gain an additional giving point. So for example, if I share my age, if I share my gender, my marital status, how much I give to charities every year, each one of those data points will earn me an additional giving point up to 11. So when I go through and I make the actual donation, either via credit card or cryptocurrency to a charity, that gets verified And then the number of giving points appears in my wallet on platform. So let's say I made a donation to Art's charity. I earned 11 giving points. Then I can go visit the rewards section of the platform. And that has rewards listed by all different types of charities. Again, all accredited charities by the BBB Wise Giving Alliance that are listed on the platform. And I can see different kinds of experiences. You know, one might be a lunchtime coffee with a program officer from one organization. Another experience could be a conversation with a senior staff member from another organization who talks about how they got into that type of work and giving maybe some career advice on how to work in the nonprofit sector. So I choose the experience that I want, and I can exchange my giving points for that experience. In exchange, the organization who is providing the experience gets my name, my email address, and any other information that I provided at the moment of donation. And so it's really kind of a win-win for both the donors and the charities, because the donor gets an interesting new kind of experience, 15-minute conversation with somebody at a charity. It could be a small group, it could be a larger group, depending on the experience. And then it's also a win for the charity because they get to meet new potential donors and, you know, be able to reach out to them after the conversation and follow up to tell them more about their work.
Great. So essentially, if I make a donation or give some of my information, I get something in return. And what I get in return are these wise giving points that I can actually use to acquire different experiences that are offered by the various charities on GiveSafely. I mean, that is, I think, very unique. And, you know, in order to get all of this done, we really needed to engage someone who knew how this whole business worked, how this platform could work. And it was so fortuitous that we were able to engage Elizabeth. And it was really fortuitous. I have to tell this story, Elizabeth.
Go for it, Art.
No, it was just amazing. And I want you to chime in as well. But so we have a board member. His name is Robert Diggs, who asked me one day, what kind of new board members do you think we need? And I said, boy, I would love to find someone who knew something about blockchain and cryptocurrency, because they could really help us with this new idea that I had. And so about a month later, he gives me a call and says, I'd like you to meet someone. And I said, fine, who is it? And he mentioned your name, Elizabeth. And I'm going to let you tell the story from there.
Well, the most fascinating part of the story is how I met Robert.
Yes.
And that might be the first fortuitous part. Robert and I were both at Target one evening shopping in the tech section. I was looking for an extra battery pack for an international trip, and he was looking for something. And he was standing pretty close to me. We were both looking at the same things. And I thought, okay, it didn't seem too weird because, you know, that happens when you shop. But then I went over to the luggage section to look for a new wallet. And I was looking there, and all of a sudden he was right there at my elbow again. So I thought, okay, I better make some conversation with this fellow. And I said, oh, you must be traveling too. And we both did find out that we were traveling, and we said our goodbyes. We did exchange some contact information though. The next morning at the train station, there was Robert, and we rode the same train together to the same airport. And then lo and behold, at the gate, we were both on the same flight. And I believe that flight was to Dublin. And he went one way from Dublin and I went another way from Dublin. But we thought it was pretty interesting. And we were able to share more conversation and get to know more about each other, including the blockchain aspect and both of our keen interest in nonprofit organizations and charitable giving and just philanthropy in general.
Well, I wanted to tell this story because this is how, in a lot of cases, things happen with nonprofit organizations. Someone has an idea, you start communicating it with others, and somehow or another, whether it be through planning or serendipity, the pieces begin to fall in place. This is perhaps one of the most I guess, interesting aspects of working in nonprofits, how these things come together. So again, I have this idea now because of Robert meeting someone randomly who knows something about blockchain. I now get to meet someone who actually does blockchain work. And we have this conversation, Elizabeth and I, about this idea. And she is, I kid you not, the exact perfect person that we need in order to pull together the resources that we need to build Give Safely. It is, I think, one of the more interesting stories about how things come together in nonprofits. A lot of times people think, well, you go out and you raise all this money and you pull it together and you have every little piece in place. It doesn't usually work that way. You know, you put it out there, you talk to people, and then through serendipity, good grace, and in this case, Elizabeth, your tremendous generosity and skill, we were able through you to build this platform with your skills and the talents of other people you knew in this field. And now we have created something that can really benefit donors and charities. I really wanted to put that out because this is a form, in my opinion, of the heart of giving. Elizabeth had no idea that she would be doing something that she planned to use to hopefully make some money and earn a living potentially. She had no idea, I'm sure, that it could lead also to the creation of something that can really help people support organizations and causes in a very unique and creative way. So I just want people to understand how nonprofits actually come together. It isn't always that we have everything we need when we come up with these ideas.
You're kind, Art. And it's true. Networking is so important. And I do love that story too, because it shows how networking can work. And we've been unstoppable, haven't we? And then you introduced me to Ezra.
So let me tell you about Ezra. So Ezra is one of these really, I call Ezra one of these Renaissance men, but he's kind of young to be really a Renaissance man. I mean, Renaissance people are usually, you know, my age or so, but Ezra is more of a, I guess, a Renaissance throwback. You know, he would be somebody, he should be a lot older than he is. I'll put it to you that way. He has so many different interests and hobbies and talents and abilities. And he's brilliant, having a graduate degree from Princeton University. He's just brilliant guy, has spent a lot of time in the nonprofit sector before he came to the Wise Giving Alliance. And we just felt that we had struck gold when we got our hands on him and he joined our organization. But in addition to the work he does analyzing charities, he has this great interest in data and systems. And so when we announced this idea, the first person I thought of in our organization to introduce this to was Ezra. Ezra, what do you think of this? And he jumped all over it. What was your thinking when I came to you with this crazy idea, Ezra?
Well, absolutely, Art. And something that struck me from the amazing story of Elizabeth, Robert, and you connecting is just, you know, how networks and how people work and how groups of people have to trust each other to come together and do something. My work in the past, right after college, I worked here in DC for a little while with high school students and connecting them with mentors. Later, I worked in international development, both in Ecuador and Bolivia. And my work in Bolivia connected indigenous people in Bolivia with indigenous people from the United States and New Zealand, Maori folk. And it was all about kind of connecting people through networks of trust. When you approached me, I'd already done a little bit of reading on blockchain. I was by no means even close to being half an expert or half the expert that Elizabeth is, but I'd kind of come to understand it as a way of connecting people and, you know, ideas and networks. So when we were working on the idea of Give Safely and thinking about, well, what do donors want? What do charities want? You know, they want to connect with each other in meaningful ways, but while feeling safe and while feeling trusted. It just really fit in with things that I believe in and it felt like a next step in the work that I'd been doing up until this point.
So Ezra, what do you think is really in it for charities? Why would a charity want to be a part of Give Safely?
Well, a lot of charities already know that donors want to give cryptocurrency, or that that's coming in the future. A lot of charities also know that blockchain as a technology is coming, but they don't understand either of these things. At the same time, charities want to demonstrate that they're trustworthy. They want to show not only are we doing really great work, but we're the right kind of organization to be doing this. And that's part of why they go through our process to be listed on give.org as an accredited charity. At the same time, charities are also aware that the number of individual donors is steadily decreasing, and the number of small donors is also decreasing. But lots of charities, they don't have an innovation office where they can test out new ideas. If they divert some of the money that they spend on fundraising into a new program and it doesn't work, well, how are they going to keep the lights on next year? How are they going to provide services to the people that they work with, or the animals that they work with, or the causes that they work on that really need them? So part of the appeal, I think, of Give Safely for charities is that, one, as the BBB Wise Giving Alliance, we're a trusted entity. And then two, we're able to take some of these risks for them. We're able to try out a new platform based on blockchain that accepts cryptocurrency, that connects them with donors. And all they have to do is go through our process, be accredited, to be able to try it out and then see if it works. So it's a low risk scenario for them, where they can try out new ideas and potentially, as we've been talking about, connect with new types of donors, you know, the younger, the tech savvy donors, and potentially build this into their fundraising portfolio for the future.
Ezra, what are some of the charities we have on Give Safely already?
Sure. We've got some great partners that were with us from the launch. And now that we've got the proof of concept, we're adding more charities each week. There's large, medium, and small ones. Some of the ones who were with us from the very launch were Save the Children, Humane Society of the United States, Easter Seals, Cure Alzheimer's Fund, Wild Animal Sanctuary, World Emergency Relief, Red Rover, and the list goes on. And these are all BBB accredited charities. And there's a lot of interest from our charities moving forward, and we're excited to continue growing.
Elizabeth, you know, we were really cautious to even mention that this was all about this technology, blockchain, that creates Bitcoin, because we felt that people might somehow assume that it was too complicated to use, or it was something that was difficult to understand. And, you know, sometimes when things are difficult to understand, people shy away from it. But the truth is, we don't understand how Facebook works either, right? We don't understand the technology behind Facebook. We don't understand the technology behind a lot of things that we use, but we still use it. Why do you think there's this mystique about blockchain that kind of pushes people away from it, when really, in my opinion, they should be going toward it?
People do have a hesitancy because it has to do with cryptocurrency, and people don't understand cryptocurrency. They only know what they read about it. And unfortunately, in the earliest days, there was some misuse of the technology. And people soon found out, or those criminals soon found out, that the transparency of cryptocurrency actually was not what they thought it was, and they were caught. But it still left a bad taste in some people's mind. So I think that that's the biggest reason why people have a hard time with cryptocurrency. The other thing is that a lot of people don't understand Bitcoin, and there's a lot of controversy about it. Some of it's promoted by people who don't want blockchain to succeed. Believe it or not, there are entities throughout the world who would prefer not to have a trusted, secure, encrypted way of exchanging information and currencies, because the exploitation that they can do on the open network, the way the internet is set up right now, is to their advantage. Unfortunately, it's not to the advantage of the average person. And so it is very exciting to be able to take this new technology and apply it as a fix for some of those broken things. But it's also a big challenge for me over the past years to be able to simplify the message and to make it, like you said, Art, something that people don't necessarily need to know that they're using. Right now, there is one point of friction in the learning process, and that is the storage of your account key or your private key with your account creations. And so many people are used to losing their passwords and resetting their passwords over and over that they need to be taught and retaught the idea that your account key is the only way to open up the blockchain to you. And if you lose that, then you lose your access to the blockchain. It can never be retrieved. That's the beauty of blockchain. But because of our carelessness with passwords and how easy it is to access a database to retrieve that password, people are careless. And that is also a point of failure for most systems, because that's where people can get hacked. Those central databases that exist in one place with a couple backups that hackers have gotten into many, many times and compromised many people's information and their passwords. It just came past my desk today that charities are scraping information and data from their donors on different giving platforms and selling it. And that's really concerning. That's what GiveSafely is being built to try to prevent. Our trusted charities can put that button on their website that gives donors an opportunity to donate to them knowing that their data will never be scraped. It can't be, or never be stolen. It can't be. And it offers that place of trust.
Well, it's so important you're talking about data, because we're in a world now where people are making lots of money off of our data. And we're basically giving this data away, sometimes knowing, but a lot of times not really knowing that we're giving it away. You know, a lot of the devices that we use, a lot of the programs that we access, a lot of the apps that we use to help make our lives easier are collecting vast amounts of information about us. And that information is being used to send us preferences and to sell us things. So people are making lots of money off of our data. And what we're trying to do with GiveSafely, it seems, Ezra, is give something back to people if they want to share their data. And I say if, because if you don't want to share your data, you really don't have to on GiveSafely. You can make a donation and not share any data, except maybe your email address and a name, because we have to have a name for tax purposes. But other than that, no information is actually shared unless you choose to share it. If you choose to share it, though, you get something in return. And that's what we're trying to change, I think, in this program. Giving people the choice, right, for how they can share or not their data and how to actually get something in return for the information that they share.
Absolutely, Art. I think more and more people nowadays, you know, they're aware when they're on the social media sites and whatnot, that while they're free, their data is being harvested. You know, they see ads targeted to them. They see that the content that appears on their pages is also targeted to them based on their information and, you know, all the information that they share on these sites. What GiveSafely does, as you said, it allows the user to designate who gets the data and what data it is. Every charity on our platform has to sign an agreement that they will not share the data with third parties, so the donor can feel safe and trust that what they share goes only to who they wish it to go to and that it won't go beyond that.
Yeah, you know what's also cool is that when you just choose to make that donation or give your data and you get these points in return and you can get that experience, you actually get a deeper relationship with the charity. And at some point, you may want to engage differently with that charity once you do it. So Ezra, who are some of the more likely donor candidates for our GiveSafely platform?
Well, one of the innovations of GiveSafely is that it does accept cryptocurrencies. Individual charities, some, and some of the more sophisticated ones, already allow for cryptocurrency donations, but there are not many overall who do. So what GiveSafely does is we help guide them. We have a guide where they get information on how to set up cryptocurrency wallets and whatnot. So I think the cryptocurrency donors is one population that will be able to take advantage of GiveSafely.
And I guess people who are more tech savvy might be some of the initial users of it as well. Maybe the curiosity that they have about this new technology. But I would say that it's true for everyone.
Right.
Anyone can go now, I think, to GiveSafely and set up a wallet and make a small donation to any one of the charities. And since Giving Tuesday is either going to be here very soon or maybe by the time we get this podcast out, maybe past, people can go there and give a donation in respect of Giving Tuesday, whether they do it before or after. So I hope people will go make a small donation, see how it works. Send us your feedback, because we're doing something, I think, quite revolutionary here that is enabling, I hope, a lot of great social good. Would you all agree with me on that?
Yeah, I would agree, Art. And I think more and more as people become more aware of how their data is used, more concerned about privacy, how platforms use data to manipulate their behaviors, they're going to be looking for other sites and other platforms, other ways of doing things that respects them as people and their data. So I think GiveSafely is one example of that. And I think there'll be more and more popping up. And I think blockchain as an underlying technology is really going to facilitate the move towards this sort of interaction between people, their data, and others.
You know, one of the other great things about this platform is that you're not going to find millions and millions of charities. And every charity that you do find on GiveSafely is going to be accredited. They're going to be vetted. And Ezra, you can talk about the accreditation process, but you know, it's a very intense process that charities go through in order to be accredited. So anyone who makes a donation has that safety feature, knowing that any charity they pick is accredited.
Working at the BBB Wise Giving Alliance, we get a lot of calls from donors who say, hey, there's this charity that sent me an appeal. Are they trustworthy? Can I trust them? And we say, well, you know, let's look them up in our system. You know, have they met the 20 BBB standards for charity accountability? And that's what we do with charities is, you know, we go through a process where they submit all their information, their financial documents, information about their governance practices, information about how they do their fundraising and how they measure their own work, their self-assessment practices. And we put together a draft report saying, you know, which standards are met and which are not. When a charity doesn't meet a particular standard, we help them build a plan to come up to standard, to meet that standard. And we work with them as much as possible to get them there before publishing the report. So there are some charities that are still kind of in the process. They haven't met some of the standards and they're online, but a lot of the charities have been working hard and they meet all 20 standards. And we're able to tell donors, what we can tell you is the way the organization's built, the way it runs its practices and policies makes it trustworthy.
Elizabeth, you have been volunteering your time for months on this project. And I think it's kind of important for people to understand why you would give so much of your time to something like this. And it's inspiring to me. And I hope that others will look at your story and be motivated to give their time to what matters to them as well. But I am so grateful. I need to just tell you that for all the time that you've given to this. But why has it been something that you saw fit to give so much of your time to?
Well, Art, you know, that's a long story, and I will try to make it short. The experiences that we all go through to make us the people that we are and the things that we're interested in can be long for all of us. Years and years ago, I went over to Banda Aceh in Indonesia after the tsunami to help with the rebuilding process. And we wanted to encourage the local economy, and rather than bring in our own materials and in our own labor, other than free labor and volunteers, we wanted to hire locally. And to bring the money in to do that was very, very, very hard and challenging. And because border officials, other people really wanted to take part of that. So I always was very intrigued about ways to get money to developing countries, to international crisis sites and things like that. So I've been very interested in cryptocurrency for years and years and years. Actually, I was first part of the Bitcoin forum before I even got Bitcoin, because I was waiting for the right time. This was before there were any exchanges or anything like that. And it was a very interesting place to be, especially for a woman. And when I started becoming part of a community that actually was the proof of stake community, Ardor and NXT, back in the beginning days, started participating more in the forums. It was a decent, nice forum, but it was still fairly risky to come out as a woman. But in early 2014, I finally did. I assumed the name of the crypto woman in all of my social profiles about cryptocurrency, and I've been going forward ever since. But I also have this connection to giving, to philanthropy, to the unserved, the unbanked. And so just being part of the Give.org board of directors really gave me a opportunity to bring these two interests together in a way that I'd been looking for. I'm also in a stage of my life where giving back is something that I can do a little bit more of. I think that it's an important part of anybody's life to look for things that they can contribute to that's bigger than themselves and give back. And so I decided that when I made this commitment, that this was something that I believed in very strongly. And it was the intersection of two of my very strong interests. And so I'm very, very excited, actually, to talk with Ezra every day and you, Art, once or twice a week, and just keep going on this project, because we have big ideas for the future. We have ways to grow it and enlarge it and make it good for charities and donors. But in the long run, it's the people who are going to benefit at the end of the line. You know, those people that the charities actually will serve. And that's what excites me about it.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining this Heart of Giving podcast episode. And I just feel that as we keep plugging away with GiveSafely.io, it's going to be a real important piece of our nation's giving infrastructure. I think we have all of the key elements. All we need now is for people to find their way to GiveSafely.io and begin supporting these organizations, and it's going to take off, I believe. So for all of our listeners, check out GiveSafely.io, support one of the charities on the platform. If you're an accredited charity who happens to be hearing this podcast, feel free to reach out to us at give.org so we can get your charity enrolled on it. And we'll probably be back for another episode at some point to talk about where we are with this project. But in the meantime, I hope you'll subscribe to all of our other episodes. I'm thankful to Elizabeth and Ezra for all they do and for joining me today. And we'll see you on our next episode.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. Send your comments and ideas to Nona@thusmarket.com. That's Nona@thusmarket.com. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's terms of service.